It's time for our reading now, and Eileen's going to bring us our reading.
Morning. Right, the reading this morning is from the Book of John, and that's on page 1063 of your Bible, and I'm reading from chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Eileen. Now Mike's going to come and tell us all about it.
Good morning. Good morning. Right. Very good. Right. So please do keep your Bibles open in John's Gospel. We're going to be in here for the next number of weeks as we start on John's Gospel. And I'm sure it'll take us a little while to get through it over the coming years. We'll do a section and come back and then do something else. So that is the plan. Well, let's pray, shall we, and ask for God's help. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for all the gospel writers, Father, who recorded different parts of Jesus' life. And we pray, Lord, as we come face to face with the risen, the incarnate Jesus, with the risen Jesus, we ask, Lord, that you will be drawing us closer to him. Help us to love him more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, you know how you can be in that situation where you can know somebody, but not know them at the same time. You can know someone, but not know them. So you might have had a friend who's been a friend for years, but out of the blue, you suddenly discover that they're into fishing. And they're actually quite good at it. You're sort of like, whoa, where did that come from? Or a family member is a bit of a crier when it comes to watching emotional films. And they've been hiding it for years. And you're suddenly watching a film with them and they're crying and it's a bit of a shock. I didn't know you cried at films. I remember years ago, me and a friend of mine were talking about A-level results for some reason. And it was necessary in the conversation for me to say what I had got. And they were a pretty decent set of results. But my friend's face dropped and said, I never knew you were intelligent. We can know, but not know at the same time. Well, today we're beginning John's Gospel. Yeah, and we're going to be working it over the next few weeks. But this morning, we're just going to be looking at the first five verses, and we'll come back to the rest of that passage next week. And verses which I'm guessing are very familiar to many of us. Some of us might have even committed them to memory. And they are big Bible verses, as Les said at the beginning. And at one level, we already know them. Many of us will know that Jesus is God and is the Creator. For some of us, that might be new for us this morning, which is great, but for many of us, it's not. We know, but at the same time, what do we not know about Jesus? And therefore, John, the Gospel writer, he introduces his account of Jesus' life with these famous words, and he wants to confront us with the utter godness of God, of Jesus. Before we get into the nitty-gritty, though, of seeing Jesus come to earth and his miracles and his teaching, before we get to see all the multifaceted parts of who Jesus is, John wants us to know who we're dealing with in these first five verses, and it is God himself. And when our minds and hearts pause to do this, I'm hoping and praying that it will be wonderful, that it will be mind-blowing, that it will even be humbling at times. So John takes us to the very godness of God with the first words of his gospel. And let's see how that works. And our first point this morning, the godness of Jesus. Please look with me at verse 1. In the beginning. Now, do those words sound familiar? Do they sound familiar from anywhere else in the Bible? This is not rhetorical. Genesis chapter 1, exactly. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And just to check that Mike isn't making a random connection between in the beginning in John's Gospel and in the beginning in elsewhere in the Bible, in Genesis, think about Genesis chapter 1. The Word is at work. As God says, let there be light. And light was created. The beginning also in John's Gospel is repeated there in verse 2. In the beginning. Verse 3, it's all about creating, isn't it? Verse 4 in John's Gospel, the light was good. Now, what else was good in creation? What God created there at the end of every day. And then finally, we get the pinnacle of creation, Adam and Eve itself, the start of life for humanity. John in his Gospel wants his readers to believe in Jesus. But we don't get Jesus if we don't understand that Jesus was there in the beginning. As the earth came into existence, as the land and the waters were separated, as the first bird was created and took flight, as the first animal sniffed the pure, clean air, Jesus was there. Jesus didn't appear out of thin air when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb and then 9 months later was born in a stable. Jesus was there at creation. Now, that's impressive enough, isn't it, to be there at the beginning of creation. But then we get told in verse 3, John chapter 1, verse 3, through him all things were made. And just to make sure we sort of don't downplay the fact that Jesus created it, he carries on in verse 3. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Jesus wasn't just an observer at creation. He was there doing the creating. He made all things. In that perfect world, everything was made by Christ. From the grandest of mountains to the largest of oceans to the tiniest of insects. And remember, Jesus didn't start with materials which he then used to create things. There was nothing. And Jesus got busy and then there was something. Now, as many of you know, I'm not particularly good at DIY. And that's a polite way of saying I'm pretty rubbish at it. But if I was trying to create a table, I would need tools, I'd need a plan. Even better, I'd need a step-by-step YouTube thing to follow. And finally, I would need some wood. No wood means no table. It doesn't matter how many tools I have. But for Jesus, starting with absolutely nothing, it wasn't a limiting factor. God speaks, the word gets busy, and bosh, our planet existed. In fact, not just one planet, but the entire universe. Jesus did this. And it's easy to say that, isn't it? Jesus made it all. But it is absolutely mind-stretching to think about it. So Jesus was there at creation. Jesus was doing the creating. Now, I don't know about you. I'm impressed when I hear of Jesus during his earthly ministry, walking on water or healing people or calming the storm. To have been there and to see it, you say, wow. But for Jesus doing those things, the calming the storm and walking on water, that's like child's play for the Almighty God of creation. Our Jesus is that impressive. God-like, even. And then we go back to John chapter 1 and verse 1 again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we get all this talk about the Word, and to begin with, you're thinking, who's the Word? Now, if you look forward to verse 14, it's very obvious that the Word is Jesus. But then we're wondering, why did John, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, choose to call Jesus here the Word? Why didn't he just say, Jesus was with God? Jesus is God. But he doesn't say that. But because the Word of God through Scripture is getting busy doing things. The Word, remember back to creation? The Word was created. Elsewhere in the Bible, we see that the Word is saving, the Word is judging. And that's just a name but a few. The Word, which is powerful and effective, it was there in the beginning. Now, it doesn't say the Word appeared at the beginning. It just says it was there. He was there. Jesus was there. There's never been a time when Jesus has not existed. I remember a number of years ago, a couple had become Christians, and it came a bit of a shock to them when they realized that they thought Jesus just rocked up in Bethlehem at that first Christmas. No, Jesus has been there all time. There's never been a time when he hasn't been. And as we look at these verses in John's Gospel, all the evidence so far points to the reality that Jesus is God. But then we are told the Word was with God. Now, we know the Word sounds like God, and God is God. So how can God be with God? It sounds like they're different persons, and they are. But God the Father is God, and Jesus the God the Son is God. And just in case our minds are spinning, John spells it out at the end of verse 1. The Word was God. These opening verses of John's Gospel, they want us to understand that Jesus is the Creator, but he's so much more than that. Jesus was and himself, he is God himself. Elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus clearly affirms that the Bible is the clear message that there is only one and only God and no other. But at the very same time, we get told here, Jesus is with God. There's two persons. In fact, we find elsewhere there's the third person as well. There's the Holy Spirit. And as you're thinking about this, you're going, one God, but three persons. I hope your head hurts. Because it is mind-blowing. Christians are convinced that there is one God, but also who is also three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. Why? Because the Bible tells us so. Jesus tells us so. Now, we don't fully understand it. But there's plenty of things which are true, which I don't fully understand. It's the same with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But then we're thinking, why does John start his gospel in this way? Why does he start it with this mind-blowing vision of Jesus? Instead of like the other gospels where it was just like, right, Jerusalem or Bethlehem, and in Mark's gospel it was straight into Jesus' adult ministry. In Luke and Matthew it's about his birth. Why do we get this backdrop? Well, think if you're going to the theatre to a play. And perhaps the backdrop, the scene, is a lovely landscape with a setting of sun and flowers wafting gently in the breeze. And you have a young couple on stage whispering sweet nothings into their ears. A beautiful scene, a romantic scene. But then you could have exactly the same couple doing exactly the same whispering to each other on the stage, but instead of that lovely sun-soaked background, the backdrop now is a building which is partially demolished. Fires are burning, dust and smoke fill the air. It's a war scene. And that same couple whispering those same sweet nothings to each other suddenly has a whole different take. Perhaps one of them is dying, or they're about to be parted, or they've just been reunited. It's still a romantic scene, but the backdrop changes how we understand it. Well, in John's gospel, Jesus does the powerful teaching thing. He does the miracle thing and the compassion thing. He does the whole dying on the cross and rising to new life thing. But he also does the ordinary things as well. He does the crying and thing, and the eating and the sleeping and even the partying. But here, we're given the backdrop to all this. It isn't any old Jesus. It is the awesome Creator, life-giving, eternal God of the universe, who is about to do all these things. Who is about to demonstrate and prove that he is the awesome, almighty, creating, loving God of the universe. The utter godness of Jesus. But then we also see that Jesus is the source of life as well. We've already touched a bit on this with creation, but verse 4 takes us further. Please look with me at verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Now you can pause. What does this mean? In him was life. And that has to be Jesus, doesn't it? So in Jesus was life. But we were left wondering, is this physical life? Is this spiritual life? Is it perhaps both at the same time? Well, this life is a gift for all of humanity, not just for some of humanity. So it seems life here must include physical life. Jesus is the source of physical life that lit up mankind. And this is so important because Jesus did not just come to create inanimate objects. Jesus breathed life into humanity as well. Going back to my table, or my imaginary table, because it will never be a real table, I can assure you. But let's just say by some minor miracle, I managed to build my table and it actually stood up. And you could put something on it and it didn't collapse. Now for me, that would be some achievement. But I'm utterly powerless to make that table come alive. For it to start thinking and breathing and moving and talking. I don't know if you've seen any of those robots, which perhaps Elon Musk or some of the other tech billionaires are building at the moment. And they look like a humanoid, don't they? And they've got arms and legs and all that type of stuff. And they can walk and they can pick things up and they can even listen to instructions and follow them to some degree. They fall over quite a lot as well. But at no point do we think, that's alive. And even as the technology improves and they mimic the functions of life ever better, they still will not be alive. Only God can give and create life. But verse 4 is more specific, isn't it? It's not just God, it is Jesus. So when you have those times when life is just good, and I'm not talking about the big things here, it might be a joke and a smile shared with a friend, or a really tasty apple, or snuggling up with a loved one in front of the fire, and life is good, we so easily take it for granted. As if we deserve that moment, earned it, made it possible ourselves. And that's wrong. The only reason why we're alive, to enjoy those moments and the whole of life, is because Jesus has given us life. He is the source from which all life flows. But then we read verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is a source of life, but we live in a world that wants to hide from this fact. They want to hide from the fact that they owe their very beings to Jesus. So many people prefer ignorance, darkness. They shout, "God is dead," or perhaps they just whisper it, but it's still the same. But God will not allow such ignorance. He sent the prophets and the kings in the Old Testament to shine light into such ignorance. It was like a torch shining into a darkness. But then God went, "I'm going to get the big guns out. I'm going to get the spotlight out, which is just going to light up the whole sky." As the angels came at the birth of Jesus, and what did they do? They lit up the sky as they sang praises to God, and the light shines in the darkness. In Colossians, we're told the very fact that we only take our very next breath because Jesus is making that possible. Jesus is the source of life. But I wonder if verses 4 and 5 mean more than just physical life. And our final point, Jesus is life. Because in John's Gospel, as we go on into John's Gospel, when Jesus talks about life, it is very rarely just physical life. It is often life lived to its fullness, physical life and spiritual life, not separated but combined. And it's as if human beings want to live life to the full, it's not just about accepting that physical life comes from Jesus, but Jesus is himself our life. If you want to live life to the full, we need to be fully connected to Christ, to know him, to love him, to follow him, to adore him. I don't know about you, but those times when I feel most alive are those times when I'm closest to Christ. And we shouldn't be surprised, because verse 4, in him was life. And it still is. And the temptation, I think, for many followers of Jesus is we want to do life with Jesus bolted on the side. As sort of as an additional extra, an additional help. Others treat Jesus as if they only cry out to him when they're in trouble or in need. But can you see how insulting that is to Jesus? I'm just going to read those first 5 verses again. Just think how insulting it is to think of Jesus like that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is not a handy bolt-on. He's God. He is life itself. And every blessing you have is a gift from his tender hand. And the biggest gift of all isn't what Jesus gives us, it's Jesus. It's possible to know Jesus, but to not know him. And at one level, that is true for all of us. We're created creatures, aren't we? And Jesus, as we've seen, is the creator, the life-giving God himself. And we'll never understand everything about Jesus. Our little minds are just incapable of understanding everything about Jesus. But we can know him. Not fully, it's not possible to fully know, but truly we can know him. But the Holy Spirit let the first 5 verses of John's Gospel, for some of us, it perhaps helps us to know him for the first time. For many of us, it's just to wonder afresh at the very godness of Jesus. And not just right now, but at various points in the coming week and beyond. Because as we remember how the godness of Jesus at various points in our week, that is such a wonderful blessing. So whatever you're doing, good or difficult, interesting or boring, your life is wrapped up with the divine Son of God. Let's pray. Father God, Jesus is just so wonderful. And as we read these words, I've just spent the last 20 minutes thinking about them. At one level, Father, we can't do Jesus justice because he is just so fantastic. But yet, Father, we pray, we beg that you'll help us just to grasp that a little bit more deeply, just how amazing Jesus is. And as we therefore go into this week, bring that to mind, warm our hearts, whether in the midst of difficult things or in the midst of good things. Help us to know that our life is wrapped up with the very source and giver and purpose of life in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.